Thank Rabbi Fishbein for including me in this conference. Thank you for coordinating the conference. It's a beautiful, array of speakers, of topics, and so forth here. Very interesting. I'd like to address something, just to introduce a topic. Rebelsky is the main speaker for this. The topic of DA cows, displaced abomasum cows. This issue has slightly changed in the past few years. I'll introduce a little bit of the background in a second. But the reason that it really came to the fore is because the OU receives calls on a pretty frequent basis from consumers about this topic. Rabbi Polsky, who handles our consumer calls, he forwards them very often to me about DA cows, DA issues. I don't deal with myself, don't deal with fleischigs or treifas or anything like that. However, it involves milk. So very often it comes to me, and I see the frequency, the preponderance of this question in the tzibur, how people are interested in it, and facts have changed a little bit over the years. So there's just an ongoing interest in maintaining current information and providing that information to ourselves and to the tzibur, so we're on top of the situation as we need to be. This issue of DA cows, displaced abomasum cows, came up a little over a decade and a half ago before I was, working in kashrus, and maybe others out here weren't either. And at the time, it was noted that the cows very often, not the majority, but a small minority of cows, dairy cows, very often after they lactate, after they give birth, their cava, their abomasum, their fourth stomach, moves out of place. It's displaced, moves out of place, and it gets filled up, bloated with gas, and the cows are a big problem for the farmer. The cow is in mortal danger. It has to correct the procedure right away. The cow can't eat properly, can't produce milk properly, can't function properly. And it was noted at the time that some of the procedures done to correct this situation, to bring the cava back into place, involved surgery. A few procedures involved invasive surgery in the cow. And there was a shaila raised as to whether this renders the cow a treifa, and subsequently it's milk from a treifa, chal of treifa, which is asur min haTorah. And that was what happened at the time. At the time, tshuvas were written by Rav Belsky, Rav Ganak, Rav Heinemann, explaining why there should be no problem with the milk. We have to keep in mind, we're not dealing with, even though the mokar is a mokar min haTorah, iser treifas, however, the milk itself we're talking about is a milk which would be also only on a derabanan level. The reason is as follows. Lach balach min bimino is batel barov. The vast majority of cows do not have this DA condition, this DA procedures form to it. The vast majority of cows are not problematic cows. The milk from the majority of cows is certainly mevatel the milk from the miyud of cows that had what might be a questionable procedure. So midaraisa, bittel barov, that's fine. But midarabanan, the chamim were machmir, the min b'mino, lach balach, we require shishim. So the whole issue we should have in mind for the context is one of shishim, one of derabanan. It's an issue that's serious, doesn't mean we should take it any lighter, but we have to keep the context. We're talking about it derabanan. Therefore, certain sveikos, certain chazakos, can pertain here that wouldn't pertain if we were a deraisa level. That being said, as I mentioned, we receive calls pretty often from consumers, from other rabbanim, of course, about this issue. I'm sure all the hechsherim here, have people helping consumers receive these questions as well. And it was brought to my attention, just doing some research, that maybe we should look into it further. There was some information that we received that we had on our own beforehand, a lot of it, that certain facts on the ground had changed. So at the time, I contacted Rabbi Fishbein, who, as well as a few other Rabbanim Machshirim out in the field, large agencies. Rabbi Fishbein took it very seriously and coordinated two conference calls. Rabbi Fishbein coordinated a conference call among really all the Hechsherim, at least those who handle dairy products, whether it's Chol of Stam or even Chol of Israel, because Chol of Israel, they do remove the DA cows normally from their, from their herds, from the farms. However, they have to deal with them, they have to identify them, and, it relates to them as well. They can share information. So either way, all the major organizations, as far as I know, were put together on Rabbi Fishbein's conference call. The first call was just to discuss that which the questions that lay before us, and we decided that we would meet 3 weeks or 4 weeks later on the phone again after each of us who were part of the call would talk to local veterinarians, local farmers, people we deal with out in the field, literally, to gather data as to what currently was happening, what procedures were being done to DA cows, what the statistics were and so forth. So 3 weeks later, as we said, Rabbi Fishbein convened us. We had another meeting on the phone, a conference call, and we shared the information together, upon which it was decided that we would present the information to post him to Rabbanim, to Bali Hara, to rule upon this, to evaluate again. Normally when I speak publicly or write an article, I usually try as best as possible to have clear facts that point to a clear conclusion. In this case, I'm doing neither. The facts, as you'll see from the handouts, are not at all clear, not at all consistent. Therefore, I can't give you any clear facts, nor can I give you a conclusion. I'm not roi lechach. We need, especially due to the chomer hadavar, as well as due to the lack of consistency of the facts of the metzias, we need people, someone with greater plates like Rubelsky to rule on this case. Lanias Daiti, having gone through the makoros the best that I could, I don't think al pi halacha that anything has changed. In other words, the psakim that were given still, I think, do pertain, but we do have an obligation to ourselves and to the tzibur to refresh ourselves, to be more up to date on the metzias, as well as to obviously seek the hara that can confirm or otherwise in terms of the metzias. There are two things that I mentioned that had changed over the past several years in terms of the DA situation. Number one is the incidence of it. The number of cows reported having DA problems, displaced abomasum, the cave moving out of place, has increased over the years. The problem is that there is no government regulation of data for DA cows. All data, all statistics for DA cows collected informally or privately, whether it's by Cornell Veterinary School, whether it's by farmer organizations, dairy agencies, everything is done on a private level. There's the government, there is a USDA report that mentions the gross overall rough percentage of DA cows in a given year, but it really doesn't track per se by state, by region, by farm, by how the DA situation was treated. It's just a general number tossed out there, and I don't know if it even has to be fully accurate. There's no requirement of government regulation of this data. So that's the first impediment for us. The data, whatever we have, is sometimes scanty, sometimes it's inconsistent, but let's just go through with the handout. I don't want to read to you. I don't like when people, read their handouts. Maybe they'll just give it to me. I read it at home. So, but just to, go through a few things here. If you see here that the statistics are really, really very different per location, per farm. We have here in Illinois counties reporting 4% on the average of DA cows. We had it in our last conference call, Rabbi Teichman and Rabbi Landa mentioned too, they did some investigation locally, talked to local veterinarians. Rabbi Teichman mentioned in one state nearby, Arizona or Nevada, having 1% average DA cows, another state at 3%. Rabbi Landa mentioned in Wisconsin having 7% DA cows. Every state is different. And a lot of literature shows that the percentage of DA cows goes by the feed. It's really created by the feed. The cows, say, in New Zealand, I've been told, are good to confirm it for us, don't have this problem by and large because they're grazed the way they're meant to be grazed, Rabbi Bleichman wrote many years ago. And they're grazed on pasture, moist pasture, and they don't have these problems. But in America, mass production lines, they fatten up the cows, they give them all types of dry, fibrous feed, and it creates a lot of problems for the cows internally, and that's what causes this. So it depends upon the feed, depends upon, some literature depends upon the season, depends upon the breed of cow, depends upon the farming conditions, upon the stress upon the cow. There's so many conditions that can contribute to the presentation of DA in the given herd. In fact, one Chol V'Yisrael company that Rabbi Glick and I have worked on, when they have different farms historically, but two of the farms I have data when the farms were assessed for DA cows before the cows were removed, one farm had 4% DA cows, the other farm had a little over 1% DA cows, and these were nearby farms, and one wasn't like a fancy farm with good feed, and the other one was like a sloppy farm. They're basically similar, but very great variation, and these farms are not too far apart from each other, so there's really no consistent data on it. Again, year to year, we see that the DA statistics have changed, and you can look at the statistics here just for some samplings. You can spend years on looking these things up, but there's just some sample statistics. You'll see the great variance within them. The most important thing about this is that the statistics overall is that there is no bitul. We don't have shishim of heter connected to the DA cows. In other words, we might have some states that have 1% DA cows, but we have a lot more states, on an average, based upon this informal reporting, have 5% or 4% or 6% or 7% DA cows. There's really no, we can't say that the majority of states have only 1% or less than 1.6% DA cows. That's the first thing. However, we have to keep in mind that not every cow that has a DA condition has surgery that's going to be that could be questionable, so to say. The traditional procedure to correct the DA problem is to roll the cow. They'd roll the cow and they'd hope that the abomasum, the cave, would go back into place. They'd turn upside down. the cave therefore would go, would flip back in this place, and the air would go out of the mela, the gas that was built up, and it would be fine, and that was it. This only works, though, the veterinarian is saying about maybe 50% of the cases this is effective. Usually the DA is recurrent afterwards, so this is not the best option. One dairy inspector in upstate New York told me there's a new rolling procedure, which apparently he told me has had great success, which they roll the cow upside down in a trough of water. It might be interesting to watch this thing, to visualize it, but apparently that's been, for some reason, had met some good success in upstate New York, maybe other regions as well. But there are various ways to do it. There's about 10 to 20% of DA cows are culled or are slaughtered. They're not put back into the herd. Of those cows, they have the procedure. Again, some can be rolled, which is totally non-invasive. Some can have procedures in which the cava is stitched back into place without the needle going into the cave at all. Rabbi Landa told me about situations in which veterinarians say they don't try to go into the cave with a needle, but mamela it normally happens. And some vets even say they want to go with a needle into the cava in order to get a good grip on the cava. So there's total variation. One development also, it's actually in some of the literature, the halakhic literature we have here, but not all the tshuvas mention this idea, which is that there's a procedure that's done. It was done beforehand, but it's been more refined now, in which the cava is pierced, mafulish. I don't mean mafulish through and out the other side, but a direct pierce through. Some of the tzadim l'hatir that were mentioned in the tshuvos are that the pierce is done diagonally. It's done through non-aligned layers or diagonally, but some of the procedures that are done now, in particular the ones to remove the gas from the cava, they just go flush through it. I watched a video actually doing my research for this, and it was, you have to have a good stomach to, I guess a shochet can relate to, can be comfortable with this, but you have to, but just watching them take, just reading the tshuvos about, a few of them, about doing the unaligned incisions and going in directly and just like nipping the edge of the cava, and here you see veterinarian just as if he's like stabbing someone. He's proud how he stabs right into the cava. You hear the gas coming out of it. So that is something that certainly, it existed in those days, but not all the tshuvas discuss that issue. That's something that we should be aware of. One inspector upstate New York told me that even though that procedure does exist and it's very effective, some farmers or some vets are very reluctant to do it, because anytime you're invading the innards of the animal, especially the cava, you're running a greater risk than you're maybe trying to solve. Rabbi Ort from Milwaukee, Rabbi Yitzchak Ort, told me the same thing that I think he mentioned to me that also they tried it non-invasively, but he said every vet is different. It goes by where the vets were trained, by what the vet himself feels is the best procedure. They can just stitch it. They can put a needle in a trocar or a wider type of needle to deflate the gas. They can roll. There are so many procedures that are done. New procedures are being developed all the time. So basically, we have inconsistent statistics. We have inconsistency in terms of how the procedures are done, how invasively they're done, how effective they are, as well as the regions. We have no consistency. We can't say, well, in New York, there's only DA is not an issue because we only have less than 1%. Because if we saw it, certain farms a few miles apart can have totally, totally different DA numbers. These are the inconsistent statistics, and it's my honor now to have Rebelsky speak to try to distill and provide halachic guidance out of this tohu vavohu.
I don't know if it's possible to for me to distill the Indian any further with all the inconsistencies. We'll start out with one question, and I'll present it in the following way. If we have a history, I'd pick a number out of there of 10% treifos in all the farms, vaday treifos, not 10% of sirchus nereya, which we don't consider a vaday treifa. We follow Tosfos that says a sofik treifa. But if we have, let's say, a history of 10% TAFIS, real TAFIS, and this has been going on for hundreds of years. But we can't discover the Treifa until after the Shechita. Starting with a certain Echatim, so not our case. I'm going to go from here to our case. But we've statistically accumulated statistics, rather, that shows that there's after the Shechita, we make the Bedikas, and we find, you know, there's holes sometimes in the Beis HaKoisis, there's other things, and we have 10% treif. Now, we know that if we have 10,000 animals and one of them is a treifa that we can't detect, or it's a sharaniskel, or it's something else, that's how the mission starts in the Perek HaTeruvah, the eighth Perek in Zvochem. Safilo echad beribui, niskulam yomusu. Why? Well, not if it's a treifa, they don't have to have yomusu, but if it's a sharaniskel. Why? Because behemah is choshev, it's a balchai, and it's not bottle, I fill it by seres alofim, and it asks the entire teruvus. No, that's 1 in 10,000. So if we have 10%, which is quite a bit more than that, and we know from historical statistics that it's kor of levadai, based on the experience that we had till now, that is a thousand out of 10,000. So we could assume when there's 10,000 behemoths in front of us, an extremely large herd, that 1,000 of them are a treif. Do we say the same thing? Do we say that if 1 in 10,000 asks the entire 10,000, like the Loshon HaMishnah? So 1,000 in 10,000 should zecher aser the whole 10,000. It's 1,000 times as much. But the halacha is not like that, as you all know. The halacha is that every single cow that you pick out from this herd, we assume to be kosher. Why? Because Rav Behem is ksheris. And if it's a miyut she'ein ha-motzoi, we're not mechuyev to be boidik. A miyut she'ein ha-motzoi could be quite a bit more than 1 in 10,000. In Naval Pekin, we're not mechuyev to be boidik because we go bosa roiv, and we say roiv behem is ksheris. So lechayr it's a shtickel pellet. Here we ask her because of 1 in 10,000, and here we'll be matir even if we have 1,000 in 10,000. Right? Well, just to make it a little bit more palatable, 999 out of 10,000, because once I'll hit 1,000, then people will start tining that it's a miyat ha-motzei, the Yeshuas Yaakov, it's 10%. Okay. So we'll make it a mashu less. So it's a miyat shein ha-motzei. I'm not mechuyev in bedika. I could go ahead and eat all the animals, unless I happen to notice it. What's the nafkamina? Nafkamina is actually between what Chazal call a ruba de isa kamon and a ruba de lesa kamon. A ruba de isa kamon is another name for it, is a taroivis, a mixture. There's a mixture. And by a mixture, we not matter a mixture unless there's bittle. Otherwise, the whole mixture is osir. There are certain things that can't become bottle. Dvorim chashuvim can't become bottle, and a whole long list of things that can't become bottle. You know all about these things. So in that case, we have to ask everything, because there's a taroivis. We have another name for the taroivis. We call it a roivis, but a ruba de isa kamon. But in order for the taroivis to aser, so it has to be a vadai. And this vadai, we have another name for it also. It's kavua. Kavua medarabona. Because medaraisa, there's no kviyas by a taroivis. it's kavua medarbona. The dover choshev shavsa tarayves, and it's not bottle, and it's kavua in the tarayves in the rasers. It rasers the entire mixture. Once it's not bottle, it's not bottle. But if we have a ruba de lesser kamon, which means a history, and we say roiv behemis ksheiris, that's a history. This roiv, that roiv, these roivs never counted the items that were being done on, but they're based on yediyas that we accumulated over a long period of time, where we could assume the same statistics apply to this new group of behemis. No reason to think it's different. And always turns out to be fairly much the same. Afal Pikain, we can't say that in these 10,000 behemoths, there's even one that's not kosher. Every single one that we take, we're done on it, and we say that we go boseroiv, and we say it's kosher. Because there's no kavua derabonan, there's no vaday, mitzias of iser in the taroivas. And we can't say there's iser over here that's not bottled. The Mela, all 10,000 behemoths will be done liyisr, unless we happen to notice one that's bevada yosir. In that case, we'll take out that one. Of course, we wouldn't use it. What will we do? We'll say that it's bevada yosir, and we'll send it back into the herd. For shteitz achota b'shuftin yaskina. So, let's begin with this hanocha. Hanocha that if we have behemoths, if there's roiv behemoths ksheiris, so if we have an easy way of being mevarer, and we can inspect the behemoths from the outside, and we'll know which ones have this procedure and which ones have that procedure, so then we can't say that we don't know, because we can't close our eyes. We have to take a look at Sefer Levara Bekal. So we even if we had a boisai, forget about the bdikis and the miyatamotsui, trust me, there is, if we have an average over the years of not 1,000, but 4,900 out of every 10,000 behemoths are treifet, so we could still drink the milk from the behemoths, because we could go boseroiv. How could we just wipe away a parsha from the Torah? So here, if there's one behemoth in 10,000, everything's osir. And if there's 4,900 that are osir, there are trefet, so everything's mutter. Because we have to follow the kloli halacha. So the question is, if we go to a herd of behemoths, are we able to say that we have more than just a general ruba de lesser kamon regarding this herd, but we were able to be mevarer that the behemoths in the herd, that among them there are behemoths that are osir. You heard all the statistics over here. By looking at the behemoths and by following the records of the veterinarians, we've not been able to establish any case where it's easy to create a vadai without going through a tremendous, tremendous bedika. The veterinarians, rubid, don't write down what procedure they used. And if you ask them, you'll find different people from day to day, not just from farm to farm. But you heard about a farm that's 5 miles away, 10 miles away from the other. In the very same farm, one person will tell you, like the nice chap from Wisconsin said, when we see that one of these things we tell her it's off to McDonald's with you. That was their policy. McDonald's also pays money for the animal. So their experience showed them that the slaves are better for their business and for their farming and milking and everything, not to pachka. Others do pachka. We know all about these things. We've heard say that they could different statistics. Larger farms do larger farms don't, smaller farms do, smaller farms don't. In New England, the farmers told us years ago, I looked at it, the farmers out west, they hate their animals, not like us, we love them. We roll them on the floor and we do this and we do that, but chas v'shalom, we don't do the things that others do. Others say there's nothing wrong with it. At that time, it was very prevalent. This is what the fellows who went down to Cornell came back and told me, and those who visited some farms, they say it's not the way it used to be now. They do a puncture, which is 10 times more likely to heal quickly. They puncture it at an angle. And since there are a couple of skins, so when they pull out the needle, so the holes don't line up. If the holes don't line up, so it's not nikva keva. I'm not going to go through the whole pilpul on vos haste. If at one time there was a direct hole, so then that's called nikva hakeva, but it's not true. If you look in the Gemara, you shine them and poiskim, you'll see nikva trefe is a metzias. It's not a history. There's no such thing that if at one time a hole went through, so because of that split second that there was a hole, so therefore it's called nikva keva. The hole is a metzias. Of course, if you say gomed uposha, the Gemara says that if the behemoth constantly moves back and forth the parts of the veshet, right, the or that's odom and the or hapnimi that's lovan, and they're gomed uposhet and misrami hadodi, so it's called like there's a hole because it's kseidah misrami hadodi. But if the two holes are not here, and at one time you pulled the skins together, then you left it go, and one is all the way up and one's all the way down, and they're not misrami hadodi. So the fact that there was a hole for 1 second is not even an ekev bichlal, because that's not a treifa. A treifa means the animal is wounded, and it's like the Rambam is marachon, in Hilchas Machol Sasuris, and there's the hole is a metzias. There's a wound that threatens the life of the animal. Not that there was once a hole, but there is a wound. And if the skins are not misrami adodi on a steady basis, then it's not considered to be a treifa. And there were kama other tzodim that we found after investigating things at that time, but as you heard, so many things changed. They constantly change. The people change, the behemoths change, the feed changes, everything. But there's all different statistics that you hear from Nein Tog Bizen Tzveit. But what we found at that time was that there were many behemoths that were going, that had been around for a couple of years. Okay? If they were around for a couple of years, and it's very, very difficult to determine which behemoths among a large herd are the ones that were around for a couple of years. We're not talking when you take a behemoth to shecht it, and then you open it, and then you look at its skin from the outside and from the inside. So you make a bedika like any bedika. We're talking about being boydik an entire herd of hundreds of animals to find if there's one that had a certain hole, which we can't even determine when we look at the hole. And we don't have any records for it. And we have to search out for the veterinarian and ask him, and who knows who it was at that time. There's no records that tell you the specifics, who did it and what he did. So if we know, let's say naniach that there's a hole that was there for a couple of years. What, a couple of years? I'm sorry, the hole wasn't there for a couple of years. The hole healed up right away. Good, but we don't know if it's healed, right? There's a big machloikus yishoinim about whether we say dafke in the veshet that it's that we can't be soimach on healing skin. Always, we pass in lechumre that like Rav Yishoinim, that in any part of the animal, if there's a hole that heals, we can't be soimach. But medvorim amurim, if it's not their Yud Beis Chodesh, but if it's their Yud Beis Chodesh, it's very schwer to find an Isser. Yesh Litchoy Kvil Esser. Why? Because the Shach says klar that Kozman, there's a Sofik, it could be a Machloikis Rishoinim, it could be a Machloikis Apoiskim, any kind of Sofik. And if there's Yud Beis Chodesh, then we're mattered by a Sofik. And over here, you have many Sveikas. So if the whole healed up Ligamri, and even if we know what kind of hole it was, that there was B'shas Maiseh, such a hole, the Ran says, and the Achroinim all bring that, and nobody's Cholik, that there's so many Nekovim, and Ruba de Ruba of them are really not Trefe, a Nekov Stam. But we ask a Stam Nekovim because we can't be Mechalik. But if we see one that's around for a long time, and there's a Sofik, and there's a Machloikis Hapoiskim, so we have a Machloikis Hapoiskim about a certain Trefe, Yesh Machshirim V'yesh Matrife. And once we have that, then we could rely on Yud Beis Chodesh. So to go into a farm and figure out B'diuk, which ones are their Yud Beis Chodesh, and which ones are not their Yud Beis Chodesh, and which ones have methods that are matrif, and which ones were corrected by methods that are not matrif. When they put the needle inside the outer skin into the Bosar HaChoyfes Roiv HaKeres, the abdominal wall, we'll use that sheet of Bosar HaChoyfes Roiv HaKeres, right? Lahachmir, but doesn't answer because it has to be a shear, a tefach. No? And we take the needle, the toggle bolt or something else, and we catch the keva and clamp it to the outer wall. No, that's not matrif, because it may not have gone into the keva. It may have gone into the keva, it may not have gone into the keva. At worst, we have a sofik. So, Kozman, we have a sofik. A sofik trefa will answer. But not if there's a sofik in a taruvas. There's a sofik echad beguf, sofik echad b'taruvas. But when there's a sveik sveikah plus a taruvas, then we don't answer. And kama v'kama mol, ruba rova the time. What we have is merely a sveik sveikah with the taruvas and two sveikahs in haguf with the taruvas. We don't answer. So we'll have to say that those herds that have a definite presence, which we were mavara of certain nikva hakeva, and the minig is to be machmir by this and this case, and we'll assume that the halach is like that. It's not always so poshut. In those cases, we have to answer the entire herd. Let's say we come to such a matzav. But are we mechuyev to go through the tremendous chikur in Vedika to find out if the herd has, which is extraordinarily difficult? The records won't tell these things to us. Examining the animals won't tell these things. But if we ask the veterinarians and we look at their records, if they remember about this particular behemoth, It's possible. I mean, I don't have to suggest the hechatimsis to create a possibility. You could all come up with hechatimsis to make it possible. It is possible. But are we mechuyev to go and be mevara and go through a lengthy bedika, which we probably won't be successful in being mevara? And on the sofik that once in a while will be mevara, heard that there is a definite taruvus and there are asas already, echad b'riboy. I don't think we're mechuyev. I'm just mentioning Roshei Prokim and everything, but these are all sugis, these are all durchgedroschene Sachen that are, you know, in Dinsel Roiv and Poiskim. But we're not mechuyev to be matriach, to try to discover if we have a shaila that will give us a teruvus that we have to be machmer on midrabbanan. Even if it was a deraisa, we're not mechuyev to go out and discover it. Avada navada, if we have an easy way to passel a certain herd, to say, look, we know without, we discovered whether it was with tircha, without tircha, we discovered that these herds are have these shailas and have grounds to say that there's a definite tarovis, there's a ruba the isik amon over here, and it's not bottle, I feel echad b'riboy, okay, so we won't be able to take from there. And even if the farmers, and it's just one in Shishim, so when the goy farms, it takes the milk, and that one in Shishim is bottle. They milk the cows three times a day in any larger farm. So whoever was by a farm knows these things. You hear it right away. The old small farms, they milk twice a day, and the larger farms, they milk three times a day. As I hear this, I can't explain exactly why they do all these things. I'm not a farmer. But this is what I've seen. I've been in New York State, upstate, by along the Finger Lakes and everything. But whatever it is, they're constantly milking the animals. If we're able to locate and discover such a farm easily, and we find out about it, ain't chanami. But to go and to zuch von unter der Erd, to see if we have such a hechetimsa, which is core of levadai, that we won't be able to find out about it. So we mechuyev to be matriach when we have the right to assume that we should go, but we don't have a kavua. And kavua means a vadai. That's the taich of... Yeah.
Maybe a set of standards that's efshelevare bekal. There's certain things that's efshelevare bekal. There's something called malim ayim that I'm not looking at all. So there has to be a certain standard.
When
you want to go into a dairy, you can't just, because it's a dairy, it's kosher. There should be a set of standards. This we have to be mevare. After that.
That's what they were doing. All these statistics comes from the tircha to try to be mevare.
Okay, but now at this point, you have to know that these questions must be asked.
At this point, we haven't yet discovered a method for Eshel Levar Bekal. We haven't yet discovered that method. Maybe we will, and we're still working. By just the report that Rabbi Gordimer gave, you see the enormous amount of work and the ongoing investigation. I'm not saying that we shouldn't investigate. Adarabba v'adarabba. I mean, these investigations are being made, and I'm pushing them, and so on. There's no question. But the to say that right now, the question isn't whether we should investigate. The question is whether we have right now a sibel esor. So the violent darsach mirum.
Two points, if I may ask. Yeah. If the Rav could explain again, I just didn't understand. The issue of milking three times, why does it make it a lesser of an iser?
Because no, it doesn't make it any less iser, but it's just impossible to... you can't... It's constant.
It's a continuous milking. The
continuous
larger farms,
milking,
it's continuous
right.
milking.
Continuous so, milking.
Yeah, but if Cholestam, we're talking about Cholestam.
The statistic
remains
just
the same.
It's the same, but it increases the difficulty. And because they're constantly milking and they're, you know, they're not cooperative. There's no lull. There's no time in the day when they are but nicht, when you could talk with them and when you could find out.
The day, usually the herdsmen take care of the... The other issue is, if I may ask, the... Let's say American dairy in California, where we made milk powder, was Sachtus and the OU. We had a clear fact of about 25,000 to 30,000 cows that we had a much more percentage there was bottle and shishim in treifus. Unless we go that we don't really know that every operation was done or every hole was done in treifa.
Right.
But we definitely have a suffix, and maybe we are mechuyev to take it and remove that from the cooperative, from the co-op. As you see, you have 6%, 7%.
Well, so when you have 6% that had operations, And when you have a big frequency of operations that don't really pass, they could be Oberflächlich operations that they stitch it and they try not to get into the cave. Those who stitch it from the outside, they try their best not to get into the cave, because they're afraid. They say once they make a hole, so the behemoth is not going to.
What you've seen there is that they remove it for 2 weeks or 3 weeks till it recovers.
Yes,
that means they did do it. They did do it. They do the surgery right up front.
When you come across such a dairy and you gather together the statistics, and you see that there's no little b'shishim over there, then you have a problem.
What is the Rav's Mahalach about that? That you see steers from one person in the same place, that means that all statistics are based on
facts. Each
Mula steers.
What?
When you walk through and you check it with an independent veterinarian, you always find a higher percent than they tell you when you ask them. It's been our statistic when we do Chol HaVistrol in Wisconsin, in New York, in California, Arizona.
I'll tell you. The Lachatchila, we got the statistics many years ago when we started looking into this. The statistics came from Cornell, from
New York.
Yeah. Right. And from New England a little bit, and a little drop from Wisconsin. But now there's 100 times more statistics available.
Can help solve the whole problem. Can I make a suggestion that all kashrus agencies that want to have milk or milk powder, Cholav Yisrael or not Cholav Yisrael, where there is Bechlal DA doesn't exist, ask a farmer what a DA is, cooked if DA doesn't know what you're talking about, come to New Zealand. If we have demand, we have places where we can do Cholav Yisrael. We did it with Eidach Haredes. If we have enough demand, even Cholav Akum milk powders. Okay, but if you want to be Machmir, you know, the Haredim, the place to come is New Zealand.
New Zealand, Agavurcha, is just asset schitte, so.
You can't send it to McDonald's.
Yeah.
We just have two more questions because we're very behind schedule. But Ashreichem, that we're willing to learn Torah instead of lunch. So, Rabbi Wickler, yeah.
Yeah. The amount of behemoths that are culled from the herd every year because they reach the end of their milking cycle is more than the amount of new cases. So that the total cases increases a little bit and then reaches a plateau. The numbers we have, they're recorded differently. Some of them, you take a look at it, you say, well, 5%, that means after 20 years that there's 100%. And after 40 years, there's 200%. You know.
Okay, Rabbi Grafstein, quickly. All right. Thank you very much, Rabbi.